Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Viva la raza!
I got that passion that's lasting long. Los mujeres fall in love with that Latin charm. One woman isn't enough, amigo. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy Latino. And I'm tougher than tough, calling your bluff, cause
I lie, I cheat, I steal. What? I lie, I cheat, I steal.
Yeah. I don't care if you don't like me.
Wild card, bitches!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Miranda Morales, and I am so excited to welcome you to another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. This is the pro wrestling podcast that sometimes talks about pro wrestling and all the randomness in between. This week, we actually have some really good topics to talk about. This was something that I alluded to a little bit last week as far as something I'd been thinking about and some current events within pro wrestling. And we're also going to talk about something that we're not talking about. I believe that's going to make some more sense to you in just a few minutes. But the Hashtag Miranda Show is proud to be part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can listen to us on thechairshot.com and our new home, eWrestlingNews.com. Now, earlier in the newest edition of ChairShot Radio, formerly known as the Greg DeMarco Show, Greg had explained some of the new release dates for this show. This show will continue to be released on thechairshot.com on Wednesdays, and then will be released on eWrestling News the following morning, so Thursday morning. So you may be listening to this on Wednesday, you may be listening to this on Thursday, maybe Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Either way, thank you so much for listening to this show. And while you're at it, you can go to thechairshot.com and eWrestlingNews.com for all your pro wrestling news, analysis, and opinions.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And if you want to support thechairshot.com, you can also get t-shirts on prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Now, if you're listening to this, in the future, which is spooky place, you just missed prowrestlingtees.com week-long sale. But I'm sure there's going to be another sale. I mean, it is a clothing store, so they're going to have sales in the future. But you can go there to purchase your own ChairShot t-shirt. Of course, there's the OG ChairShot shirt. Use your head. Hashtag save tag team wrestling. But my personal favorite, the closest to my heart, is the Queen of Soft Style shirt. That is my shirt that is available on prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And it is available in soft style. So, you know, we're not going to give you a Queen of Soft Style shirt without giving you a soft style option. That is not fair to you as the listeners, to you as a wrestling fan. And we're going to do you justice. We're going to watch out for you. We have your back. So, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own chair shot t-shirt.
You're welcome.
Yes. Of course you're welcome. Yes, I'm welcome. And you're wondering, where did that noise come from? Speaking of the future and magical and weird places, I'm going to bring in my co-host. Not this time. I was doing so good. And then I messed it up, which is usually my MO. So it wouldn't be a Hashtag Miranda Show without it. My co-host, Greg DeMarco.
Yeah, I was trying to, like, you know, try to be that good friend. You didn't mess up. You didn't whatever. No, you did.
You're doing great, sweetie.
Yeah, that's your line. I don't use that line ever.
I use that line all the time.
You do.
It's my favorite.
You probably use it.
I do. It's fun when you yell that at wrestlers. And they just look real, like, unsure about
pretty
how
sure
to
you did that,
that
at the last ICW show to somebody during
I
match.
Did. I think I did that.
I think you did it to Mr. Classic. during this comedy
spot. Mr. Classic. I may have done that to Wolfgang. I do that to John Wolfgang all the time because he does a great job, and I just love to see his reaction whenever I say that to him because he doesn't need it. I just love saying it. But yeah, the next time you're wondering what's a good thing to hurl at a, not a physical thing. Please don't throw physical items at wrestlers. That's not a good idea. But verbal things to throw at a wrestler, just say you're doing great, sweetie. You're doing a great job, and just see what the reactions are.
Please do that at a wrestling show.
Please. Speaking of wrestling shows, I got a plug where I'm going to be next. If you know, you know, and if you don't, welcome. Miranda Morales here. I am a ring announcer in the great state of Arizona. I announced for several promotions throughout Arizona. Last week, I was announcing for Arizona Wrestling Federation in Phoenix. This week, though, this Friday, I will be announcing for Rockstar Wrestling Alliance. We have a show this Friday, March 6th, at the Crescent Ballroom in Phoenix, Arizona. Doors open at 7:30, and the show starts at 8:30. It's a little bit of a late show for some of you who may like to be in bed already. But this is going to be a fantastic Lucha Libre rock star show. So if you are able to stay up and come to the Crescent Ballroom, you're going to have an amazing time and see some Lucha Libre that's going to blow your mind. Tickets are available. You can go to Rockstar Wrestling Alliance on social media, or you can go to the Crescent Ballroom online to purchase your tickets. But I will be there announcing for Rockstar Wrestling Alliance and having a great time on a Friday night. So come and check us out if you are in the Phoenix area. If you are not in the Phoenix area, stay where you're at. I mean, if you want to make the drive to Phoenix, you absolutely can. But instead of doing that, going coming to Phoenix, just go and check out your local wrestling promotions. You can go on social media. You can Google. There's another great new website app, Wrestling Calendar, that you can use. I think it's wrestlingcalendar.com that you can go. And it's a few guys who are collecting information from wrestling promotions all over the U.S. and now even the world. And it's becoming a hub of just people being able to look up, you know, where is their local or their nearest wrestling promotion? When are they having a show? Where is it at? Who's wrestling? All those pieces of information you can look up. But I'm a huge, huge advocate, and so is Greg. I'm talking for him, but it doesn't matter because it's my show. But we are both huge advocates of your local wrestling scene. That's where you can see the stars of tomorrow and the stars of yesteryear. But in the case that maybe you don't like what you're seeing on TV, if you don't like WWE, if you don't like Impact or AEW, Ring of Honor or NWA, if you don't like any of those, like, are you even a fan? Like, look, I get it. Like, not everything is your cup of tea. But if you don't like any of those things, I mean, come on, that's kind of hard. But you can go to your local wrestling promotion. You can support the wrestlers who travel from far and wide. You can really engage and interact with them, and also other fans who are just like you who love professional wrestling. So do me a favor and do that this weekend. Go and see where's your nearest wrestling promotion. And if they're having a show, take the time, take the money, and go.
You know, you don't have to speak for me there, because obviously I would support the supporting of independent wrestling, because, you know, I might do a little show on occasion called Impact Zone Wrestling. You know, I might be behind the scenes, behind that whole action. And I mean, you know, one of the things that I'm embracing is forward planning and really planning ahead. So what everybody should do is go ahead and just take out their calendar. They can head on over to wrestlingcalendar.com. It's already listed there, thanks to them, because I didn't put it there. May 16th, however, May 16th, Impact Zone Wrestling does return to the Sun Studios of Arizona. Very excited about this show. Tickets are on sale now. You can go over to impactzonewrestling.com, get your link there, or follow at IZW Wrestling AZ all over social media. It's like the only social media stuff that I even do anymore. It's at Chairshot Greg, by the way, but who cares? I'd rather you follow IZW Wrestling AZ on social media than Chairshot Greg at this point. But that event is called the 2020 IZW Grand Prix. It is an annual event. So it's the first annual IZW. Ooh. It's not the first annual 2020.
The inaugural. Inaugural.
And I like the first way you said it, even though I can't replicate it. I just thought about it and it didn't work. Yes, the inaugural IZW Grand Prix, the 2020 IZW, whatever you want to call it. It's a show. It's a tournament. We're going to crown a new champion, the first champion in a decade for Impact Zone Wrestling. So very excited about that. We will also have a very special tag team match involving Morgan and the Navajo Warrior. If you were there at Monster, Ooh. You saw the fun time they had together in the Monster when they were the only two competitors and hilarity.
Has been a wife tag team. That's the selling point even exactly. of itself.
And then, of course, the main event, we will crown the new IZW Heavyweight Champion. And we have a ladder match. Mr. Watson going one-on-one with Mr. Classic to settle that score as well.
Is that from Clue? I want to say, like, Mr. Watson.
Or Sherlock Holmes, one of the two.
Yeah, so that's true.
But yes, Watson and Mr. Classic will finally settle their score in a ladder match as chosen by Watson because he won Monster. He got to choose that match. That will all go down on May 16th at the Sun Studios of Arizona. Get your tickets now while you can. Head on over to IZWWrestling.com to get that ticket link. Buy them now because we did sell out at the last show. We ran out of chairs. Yep. All the good seats, all the VIP seats, the couches
Everything.
In the front row.
Standing room only.
Yeah. I know. It was great.
And trust, like, you don't want to stand for, like, over an hour. That's a lot.
Let alone three.
Yes.
But no, we not only did we run out of chairs at the event, we ran out of the couch seats and the front row seats in advance of the event this time, which we did not do last time. Last time we were selling those at the door. This time we couldn't. We were sold out of them before the event and then ran out of everything else. So, yeah, get your tickets.
So, weird analogy, but not weird analogy, is VIP. It's truly VIP. You get a nice cushion seat. And that reminds me, when you go to a club, especially like in Las Vegas or, you know, a fancy town where you literally have to pay to sit down. It's usually standing room only, and you have to pay a lot of money to get a comfortable seat. This is almost the equivalent, except it's not a whole lot of money. It's just a few extra dollars where you can be sitting on a couch for the entirety of the show. Your body will thank you for it. So take the time to buy those tickets now because I'm sure a lot of people are thinking the same thing. Regular chairs are great, but as you get older, you know, not that I am. I don't even know what being old is. But for what I've been told, just regular plastic chairs can, you know, be painful to sit in after a while. So if you want to treat yourself, I mean, this is coming from the Queen of Soft style. So I love being comfortable, love being fancy. Take the investment and get yourself a VIP couch seat.
Yeah, I mean, it's we changed it up a little bit this time around. For $25, you do get the VIP couch seat, you get the bonus match, and you get the meet and greet during during the show. Now we used to charge separately for the backstage pass. Now the backstage pass only goes to those with the VIP couch seat. So pick those up. We also have the VIP front row seats. You do get the closest seat to the action, the front row seat, and the VIP match as well. Those are $20. And then, of course, general admission is $15. Which the crazy thing is that we've already sold general admission tickets this far in advance of a show in May, which just blows. I mean, we've sold other ones too, the couch in the front row, but I expected that, but I didn't expect people to already be buying general admission seats, but they already are. So, yeah, don't delay. Get your tickets today. That was like one of those unintentional rhymes.
Rhyming.
You know what's really funny? The first time we ever did this show, we said it was going to be 30 minutes long. Like the initial design of the hashtag ran.
Why did we ever say that?
I don't know.
And like, I can
we're
just
14
for
minutes in now, so you've got 16 minutes before I stopped. I'm just kidding. But yeah.
No, because it's my show, so we do what I want. So speaking of, we're going to continue with what I want to talk about, which is something that we aren't going to talk about, but I'm going to mention that we're not going to talk about. Confused? Indeed. So I alluded to this earlier before we get into tonight's main topic.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
It felt appropriate.
It was so appropriate. I'm going to talk about something that we're really not going to talk about on this show. And it was a conversation that Greg and I had. I was kind of flip-flopping back and forth on, you know, what topics to really discuss. I like to give Greg heads up when I can, because sometimes it goes into some weird directions. I like to at least, you know, give him a little bit of a map so he's not completely lost.
When I wake up Tuesday morning, I have this conversation with myself. Percentage chance that Miranda gives me a heads up about the topics for the hashtag Miranda Show before we get on the Google Hangouts call for Chairshot Radio, 26.5%.
That's usually pretty solid. That's a pretty solid prediction.
And today was on that side. Today was on the 26.5%.
Yeah, side. Today was on the good side. So there's a pay-per-view coming up this Sunday, and it's WWE's Elimination Chamber. And we're not going to talk about it. In the past, I've done More or Less, which is where we talk about the go home shows. And now with the new schedule for SmackDown, the go home show, before the pay-per-view, we analyze segments and programs and decide if we are more or less excited going into the pay-per-view. However, I didn't want to do that this week. One is that I haven't really been keeping up with all the programs that are leading into Elimination Chamber. And with everything that's happened with Super Showdown just happening last week, WrestleMania coming up, and even just the landscape of wrestling now, there were so many people who were excited and watched AEW Revolution, all the programming on TV now. It just seems like just a lot to keep up with. And something I personally wasn't too interested in. There wasn't anything within Elimination Chamber that captured my attention. So in the end, I decided to not to shove it off and talk about what we'll be talking about later. But I think that's also not a good sign for WWE. I think that is a overall consensus from wrestling fans that no one seems very excited or interested in Elimination Chamber. It's a fairly big pay-per-view in the road to WrestleMania. You have the Women's Elimination Chamber happening in order to determine who will be facing Becky Lynch for the Women's Champ, the Raw Women's Championship. There was a men's Elimination Chamber set up for the SmackDown. Or is it still happening? I don't know.
It's not still happening. No,
it's not happening. Yes.
Because they just decided that it was going to be Goldberg and Roman Reigns after announcing the Elimination Chamber match to see who would face The Fiend at WrestleMania. Now they did the tag team one instead, the random Elimination Chamber match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. It's, and I'm sure more will be added, because right now there's no Roman Reigns, there's no, there's only two matches from SmackDown in general, that one and a 3-on-1 handicap match for the Intercontinental Championship. Yeah, it's just, this show is a casualty of Super Showdown, of Jam in the Sand 5, because it just took place on Thursday. You had major world title matches, you have a new Universal Champion because of that show. None of the world champions are on this show, like it's just a waste of time. At this point,
yeah,
I think people are kind of
exhausted. And with the ending of Super Showdown 2, that really let kind of the air out. I think fans are just still so focused on Goldberg winning the WWE Championship that it's for them, like, you know, they already know what's going to be happening going into WrestleMania. So why watch this show? I think the same thing is fairly definite with the Women's Elimination Chamber. We did some predictions on Chairshot Radio where we predicted pretty much that Shayna Baszler is going to win. They've been setting up this program with Shayna and Becky for months now. And there's nobody else within that Elimination Chamber that would even remotely make any sense to have Becky face. So everything feels pretty set going into WrestleMania. So why take the time to watch it?
Yeah, it's really, this is the first time outside of the one random Elimination Chamber that they did over a summer at one point where the main event was a ladder match randomly between Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. This is the first time where the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view has no bearing on the two world title matches, at least on the men's side, at WrestleMania. Like, literally, those are already set. We've known it was going to be Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar. Now we know, you know, over a week before Elimination Chamber that it's Roman Reigns and Goldberg. We're not even forcing Roman Reigns to, like, defend his shot or Drew McIntyre to defend his shot in the Chamber, which I think they still – that's the one thing they've never done. They've never made somebody defend their shot in the Chamber, which I think they should do, but they haven't. And now, so the Chamber matches, yeah, the tag team one is it'll be fun, it'll be a great match, but it's kind of throwaway. And I mean, looking at everyone who's in the women's Elimination Chamber match, like, I mean, Shayna Baszler's going to win that match. Like there's just no way around it. And that's your official Elimination Chamber preview. Shayna Baszler's going to win that match. Like, that's literally it. And everything else is just AJ Styles and Aleister Black will be good. Andrade and Humberto Carrillo will be good.
Yeah, there'll be good matches, but like you said, as far as having implications to the WrestleMania card, at least to the point where, you know, of those big matches, the championship matches, those big programs, that I think this pay-per-view just has no bearing on. So I think there'll be some good matches, and maybe it leads to some things. You talked about AJ Styles and Aleister Black. You know, I'm sure both of those men are going to be doing something at WrestleMania, Undertaker. But, I mean, who knows? So, but in the grand scheme of things, in the big picture, it really doesn't. So, and I know we said we weren't going to talk about it, but we talked about it. But, I mean, kind of talked about it. Like, not
kinda,
really.
But not really.
Just enough, like, no previews, no more or less, just, like, it's happening, it's a thing, but we're not going to be spending the whole show on it just because it's not worth the time.
So what are we going to spend the show on?
So this is an observation that I made actually a few weeks ago. I did want to talk about it last week, but then I got distracted because I'm a squirrel. But there are three major wrestling companies that have recently had title changes within their women's divisions. And I really wanted to look into each one of these title changes because, one, it has implications within the company itself, but I also think within the women's wrestling landscape, it also has implications. But I'm a person that likes to pick patterns. And for me, the fact that these three title changes happened in a fairly kind of close amount of time from each other, I thought was really interesting. That is one thing that I think as wrestling fans, we try and pick up on, whether it's intentional or not, whether we think it's a conspiracy theory or not, that when a company does one thing and another company copies it, it's, oh my gosh, they're stealing the playbook. They're doing something that company A is doing, which means that they're watching it and want to copy them or want to compete with them. And none of these are WWE, of course. So if you've been watching WWE program, the women's championship has not changed hands from either Becky or Bayley. I believe both of them are now the longest reigning champions of their you know, distinctive brands. So that's something to tell you about WWE and what they see in the value of their current champions. But there's three other promotions that recently had changes within their women's championships. And I'll still highlight all of them, but the three companies are Impact Wrestling, AEW, and NWA. And so well, I'll be going into depth about each one of these, and kind of talking about, you know, the similarities and differences, but also just what it means within these own promotions. But what is that? How do you view that just on the surface level? Three companies all having these title changes all within, the past month, pretty much January and February of this year.
I mean, I don't view them as related at all. I really... It's this kind of circumstances around all of them. Like NWA Power, for instance, they inherited the champion that they had in Sienna. Like, who knows if she's under contract? Who knows if they had long-term plans for her? Who knows what? But Thunder Rosa, they obviously brought in to keep around and do all that. So that one I get. Impact, Taya Valkyrie, her contract, match Tessa Blanchard, all that's there. And AEW, that's a whole different, like, that's just, during ChairShot Radio, you were nice enough to say that I was good at booking wrestling. I am truthful enough to say that Kenny Omega is bad at booking wrestling. He books the AEW women's division. Ooh, we'll talk more about that when we get to it, But yeah. I if I talk about it now, I'll give away too much.
Yes, yes. And they, you know, not necessarily all related. That is a good point. I think a lot of it is just coincidence and timing. But I do think that with a new year comes, you know, companies really looking at new directions. And I think that this is a sign that each one of these companies is looking for a new, fresh direction for their women's divisions. And I can appreciate that, that they are being conscious about that, that they're setting the tone for the year. And there's still a lot of year left. You know, what a division will look like at the beginning of the year may be very different at the end. But I do think that that's just really interesting and also just kind of a telltale sign that you want to start things anew by crowning a new champion. So I do want to start off with Impact. That was the first one that came to mind. This happened on January 18th. So this technically is the earliest one, even though it was a taping. It happened in Mexico City that wasn't aired on TV until February 11th. But Jordynne Grace beat Taya Valkyrie to be the new Knockouts champion. And this effectively stopped Taya's reign. She was the longest reigning Knockouts champion at 377 days. Now, the interesting thing for me about this is that to me, it always felt more about what was next for Taya than Jordynne. We talked about this when we were previewing Hard to Kill back in January. Taya and Jordynne Grace and ODB had a triple threat match, and Taya won. And at that point, you kind of thought, okay, maybe this is Jordynne's time, and that's why ODB's in the match to get the pin. She did, leaving room for Taya and Jordynne to have another match. But at that point, I know for me, I thought maybe they're not quite yet ready to invest as in Jordynne as the Knockouts champion. But shortly thereafter, in Mexico City, they made the title change. But to me, another impact of pun intended, I guess, of what happened after Hard to Kill, and something that I witnessed firsthand when I was there, was Taya repeatedly talking about she wanted who was next in the world championship picture. So regardless of what happens with the women's, the Knockouts championship, whoever won the world championship, she wanted next. And that to me has been the story that they're telling with this title change, is to alleviate the title off of Taya, so she could focus on a program with Tessa, because we all knew, you know, out of Hard to Kill for the most part that she was going to win. Tessa successfully won, first woman to hold the world championship in Impact. And we've talked about it on multiple levels too. Both Taya and Tessa are one of the few female wrestlers who have wrestled men, who have the capability to wrestle essentially anyone. So why not build that up into a program where two fiercely competitive women, two very athletic and talented women, compete not for a women's title, but for, you know, a main title, for the world title. And to me, that's what this has been all along.
That's what I wanted. Like when we previewed Hard to Kill, I made the bold, if you want to call it bold, prediction that Taya would challenge, that Taya would lose so she could challenge Tessa Blanchard. There's two problems that I have. There were problems, but observations. Number one, I think they've wasted Taya versus Tessa Blanchard on either an episode of Impact or a one-off, one of their one-off shows, because the main event of their next pay-per-view is Tessa Blanchard versus Michael Elgin versus Eddie Edwards. It's not Tessa Blanchard versus Taya Valkyrie. I don't know Taya's contract situation to know how long she's going to be around. I do know it's coming up, and everybody expects her to show up in WWE. I think that there's no reason why Taya Valkyrie, outside of a contractual situation, there's no reason why Taya Valkyrie and Tessa Blanchard could not main event an Impact Wrestling pay-per-view. And to me, that would have been a bigger deal than Tessa Blanchard versus Sami Callihan. That's what I said when we previewed the show. I hate the fact that they're not doing that. And again, it's a playlist thing, right? It's not on my playlist, and I want it to be on my playlist. But, you know, God damn it, I'm right, and at least in my mind. And I really think that that match, it's a major missed opportunity by them. And maybe they're worried about it not selling. I don't know. You could put something else on the card. I would say you could utilize Rob Van Dam in some big capacity. He can't even climb to the top rope anymore. It's
rough to watch him wrestle. But I absolutely agree with what you're saying. I feel that actually is happening tonight. So as we are recording this, that match, Ty Valkyrie versus Tessa Blanchard for the Impact World Championship is happening. Has already happened. So spoiler alert, you know, if you don't want to know, put the volume down and then, you know, a few seconds, put it back up. But as you probably already can figure, Tessa did successfully retain the world championship. And so she will be moving on as world champion. And I completely agree. I mean, it was such a big deal the way that they built up Tessa actually competing for the world championship against Sammy. They could have easily done another buildup, you know, again, with two women. And again, two fiercely competitive, talented women who have wrestled all over the world, who have wrestled, anybody. And they really had that formula. They could have. And it is something that felt a little bit wasted on just a, you know, random episode of Impact. And as you mentioned, there could be more things behind the scenes, contractual obligations or contractual timelines. Maybe the company thinking that two women main eventing for a world championship wouldn't sell. But I mean, if anything, we've seen it happen in WWE. And we already know Impact isn't necessarily trying to shoot for WWE numbers, but the precedence has already been set. So you could, and you could really build this up. This is a time where women's wrestling is really being viewed at very differently. Fans and wrestling fans in general are viewing it with a deeper sense of appreciation, except for the fans on Raw last night. Y'all, that doesn't count. But in general, you know, women's wrestling is just viewed under a different lens. And so they really could have. But that's not the direction that they went in. And it could feel like, you know, almost a what if. What if they would have spent more time in this? What if they would have built this up a little bit more? What would have been? At this point, it looks like we'll never know. It could does look huge. Like this like, is like,
you
one
could have gotten
done.
Mainstream media attention for it. You could have gotten so much. And I think it's just the company's done a lot of good things, and I, you know, they haven't been TNA for a long time, and they haven't been TNAing things for a long time. This, to me, is a major misstep. But I said that I had two observations about it, and I wanted to make sure I didn't forget about the second observation, because this actually more plays into your topic that you want for the whole week. I think an unintended consequence of Tessa Blanchard becoming the Impact World Champion and Taya Valkyrie challenging her and everything else is that it has diminished the importance of the Knockouts Championship in Impact Wrestling at the current time frame. Patrick O'Dowd and I went to Vegas. We went to a taping of Impact Wrestling. We went to the last day. So it was kind of like the end of the build to their next pay-per-view. Jordynne Grace didn't even wrestle that day. Like she was already gone, or probably already on her way home. And it's unfortunately, it feels like we still have a limited amount of space to give to the women, and we shifted that to the world title picture, and now we're giving less space to the women in general. And so I do think that it has diminished the importance of the Knockouts Championship, whereas in WWE, they'll take the women's championship and put it in the main event. In Impact Wrestling, they just put the women in the main event, but competing over a men's championship. And maybe that's not as positive as we thought it was. Like, maybe, like, it's positive on its own, but maybe the long-term effect is that it actually creates bigger hurdles for your women's championship, or in their case, the Knockouts Championship, in the long term, after Tessa loses, after Tessa might even be gone from the company because her contract's going to be up soon. So, you know, this time, you know, in 6 months from now, she may not even be there anymore. And now you're left with a Knockouts title that might have been pushed down a few pegs unintentionally because of the major push. And I wouldn't change what they've done with Tessa Blanchard, but I think it was just one of those oh shit moments. Like, yeah, we did all this, this is amazing. Oh crap, look at our Knockouts title now. And
well,
gotta fix it.
You bring up a good point about Jordynne Grace, where she had, in that series of tapings, maybe the first day, she went up against Havoc and the match was fairly short. So it wasn't even a really competitive match from what I understand. And I don't know if that's, you know, what other programs has she set up with now? Havoc and Soo Young are now facing each other. So you're one. I think it leaves me wondering, you know, who is next for Jordan? Who is she going to build? Because the money is in the chase. I believe that the chase that Jordan had to this championship was really good. But now to set up for another competitor, that may be too. We're like, oh, we've got here. We're not really quite sure, you know, who's the next person and how to make it interesting. And that's also why, like you mentioned too, this title change has not been about the Knockouts champion. It's been about the previous champion and the world championship. That is where the story is. So I find that really interesting within this title change, which I think is very different than the other two scenarios that we talk about. It's not about who ends up having the championship. It's who's lost it.
Yeah, now, it's really interesting. You're exactly right. Like I just think it's one of those things that I don't know if you could even have planned for, because it was uncharted territory, and they deserve all the credit in the world for venturing off into uncharted territory. Sometimes you hit some rough waters you didn't know were going to be there. I don't think it's a, and I guess that's one thing I want to get across. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's just something that came up. Now you got to deal with.
Yeah. Well, on the other side, and you know, you mentioned this earlier, I do want to talk about the NWA Women's Championship. Now, this happened on January 24th, so not too long after the title change happened for Impact. Thunder Rosa beat Allison Kay at NWA Hard Times to win the Women's Championship. And if anything, I think this is just more interesting facts. You did mention and had a good point about with Allison Kay being champion, it's something that NWA Power and inherited. And she, you know, came in as a really strong champion for the first few months of the company. She worked well with a lot of the women and helped really build up the women's division. But I do think that when, and they did it with a lot of the other titles too, within NWA, is that if you want to set a precedence for a new chapter in NWA, that also means new champions. And it, I think it only made sense to close one chapter with Allison Kay and start another chapter with Thunder Rosa. For me, I think, and I don't know how intended or unintended this is, but I also think that it opens a brand new chapter and a brand new even fan base culturally. She is the first ever Mexican-born NWA champion, women's champion. And I think it can bring in a whole different fan base now that you have a Latino champion. And NWA has not historically been known for diversity. And I think it's also just been rooted in, you know, the southern part of the United States. So if you're trying to create a brand that is more national, I think it also means having a more diverse roster. And to me, that's what spoke to me with this. And also Thunder Rosa being a part of a faction with Melina and Marty Bell, it's just something different and something that I did not expect from NWA. I would have expected this from other companies, but not from NWA. I think it also means that they want to establish, you know, kind of this their own champion, someone coming in through NWA now rather than the past. But to me, I think it's a talking about clean slate, talking about starting over. I think that this is a really prime example of doing that with a new champion.
I agree with you. I think they had a direction that they wanted to go in. I think this decision was made from the jump that they were going to utilize Thunder Rosa. I wouldn't be surprised if they had Billy Corgan and Dave Logano both strike me as have taken the cultural implications into consideration for the NWA with that decision. I don't think that's why they did it, but I think as you're weighing the pros and cons of putting your belt on Thunder Rosa, that would definitely fall into the pro category. They may not have experienced the cons with Thunder Rosa that other people have. Who knows? But I think that she is I think she's in a great spot for them. I think she's a good choice to be their women's champion. You kind of saw it coming with the group they put together, like you said, and everything they were doing. But sometimes that predictability is not a bad thing. I don't think the fact that it's glaringly obvious that Shayna Baszler is going to win Elimination Chamber is a bad thing either. I think it's totally fine. Because that's what we want to happen. That's what we see happening. She should be the overwhelming favorite, and the overwhelming favorite should win in that scenario. And Thunder Rosa, especially being a heel with backup, she can carry that belt for a while. And now you talked about how, you know, Allison Kay building the division. I think now that building process is really going to begin. And in the subsequent tapings that are coming up and the build through the Crockett Cup and everything else, I think that they can really build a division if they build to it and focus more than one match at a time on it. I think they have the right champion to do that with.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, with her resume of you know, wrestling all over the world and being a very talented and gifted wrestler too, I think that adds to the credibility of NWA, not just being, you know, leaning more on that sports entertainment side. It's a real company for real pro wrestling. Now, I do think it's interesting, the program that they are shifting to now with Thunder Rosa versus Melina, this whole, you know, they're within the same faction, but now Melina, you know, is now wanting her time. And maybe that this was her strategy the entire time, was to bring the belt closer to her. It does sound like very Melina as far as her being really methodical and calculated in getting closer to the belt. Wrestling-wise, I know that she's on a different level, lower than Thunder Rosa, as far as quality. And that's just the truth. But, I mean, she is incredibly talented on the mic, incredibly strong personality, and the right person to bring this group together. But as far as first program for Thunder Rosa after winning the belt, I'm a little unsure of this, unless this is really just a way for a veteran to help, you know, build the champion, which I think is an excellent idea. It's kind of a curious one for me, whereas, you know, it's a little bit more traditional. You bring in the next baby face and you build up that baby face. So the booking on that is a little odd to me.
It's not odd to me. And because I think I look at it differently. And I was lucky enough to record this weekend with Mags, who does Badlands and Mount Rushmores, which is going to be fun when it comes out in a couple weeks, by the way. He wants to have you and Patrick on at some point, both separately, because they just have one guest at a time.
Yes, we can't have all of us. No, my not goodness. Enough room.
No, and plus, the way they do it, it wouldn't make sense. But he also does a show called Why We Watch, which I didn't even realize we were going to record, and then we did. And Why We Watch, you kind of go into your own personal history with wrestling and all of that. And I got to kind of share my experience in talking about the NWA. I followed the NWA for a while in its original incarnation. And the thing about that is that the NWA, if you look back at the history, typically a heel would have a long run as a champion in NWA. A babyface would win the title, and then the heel would win it back in, like, Japan, like, is what would happen, or Australia or New Zealand or something like that. And then they would come back, and the heel has a championship again, and the new chase is on. And NWA was, you know, whereas WWF was built on big-time babyface champion defending against all comers, NWA was built on big-time heel champion with a babyface on the chase. And Thunder Rosa, as the women's champion, fits that mold to me. And so I think that the Melina challenge is kind of the first challenge. And I think, along with Nick Aldis, like, in with all their champions, if you can really build over time and build that old NWA style of title reign, which did work and I think can still work even in this day and age. And that's how I see Thunder Rosa as the champion. Could you have done it with Allison Kay? Absolutely. I think you could have. I honestly think she was the perfect women's champion for NWA, but I don't know contracts. I don't know any of that stuff with them. So I think that they're in the right spot, and I actually expect her. I do expect this to just be the first go around, and I expect her to hold that belt for a good bit of time. And possibly, it wouldn't shock me if at some point, maybe towards the end of 2020, if she is in a main event of one of their pay-per-views. I could see that happening as well. And I could see it making sense and not feeling forced. And none of this, honestly, WWE doing it, Impact Wrestling doing it, and if NWA were to do it, I don't think any of it has felt forced. And I think that's a really good, positive aspect of all of this. None of it's felt forced. It's all felt right. And I think it would feel right. If they play their cards right, go through the summer, and maybe do it in the fall, I think it'll feel right there too.
Absolutely. And Thunder Rosa is the type of champion where she can be more heelish now, but she could easily transition to face. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that right now she's playing the role well, but within a snap of a finger or just a change with, you know, an opponent or within even this faction, she could easily turn face and you can really do a lot of things. It's almost like a Rubik's Cube, and you can do lots of things with it. And you don't necessarily have to try and find all the same colors on one thing, but it's just really interesting to play with. And I think she's a fantastic champion for the company to have and someone that you can really build, you know, the future of the division off of. Now I want to go in a completely different direction because this one is just, it's more of a relief. When this change happened, I think everyone's like, okay, now there's a little bit of hope for the future, a little bit hope for the future of All Elite Wrestling Women's Division. On February 12th, Nyla Rose beat Rio to become the second ever women's champion. And she's already had her first title defense at Revolution against Chris Statlander, and had a fairly dominant performance then. But going back to the win, I think this truly felt like a response of fans and maybe even critics saying, you know, AEW's had some great features, tag team wrestling. They're featuring a lot of people who, and signing people who normally, you know, maybe wouldn't have been looked at by other companies. But the women's division just seemed to be their Achilles heel. The one thing that just collectively fans were not excited about, not happy with, I felt that they could do more with. And you even joked around with booking Kenny Omega, who, you know, is, from our understanding, the primary booker for the women's division. You know, for someone who's such a good wrestler, one of the best wrestlers in the entire world, you would expect more. And I say this about WWE all the time. And I can understand the logic, you know, someone could be a really good wrestler and not a good booker, but I'm just saying as far as the resources, the logic, the understanding of it, sometimes I can understand why people give so much crap to WWE because you are the biggest, you know, sports entertainment company in the world. You have every resource available to you. And the fact that sometimes you still don't achieve things well or up to par when you have everything available to you, that's the frustrating part. I think the same thing could be said about the AEW women's division. You've specifically gone on record talking about how this division is going to be different than anything else. You can have your pick of, you know, of wrestlers from all over. I mean, there's, I'm sure people knocking down at the door. And then you have, you know, again, one of the most talented wrestlers in the entire world booking this division, and things were not clicking. And some of it I do believe was that there wasn't quite a connection with Rio, and I also know that there wasn't a level of consistency. I think that the fans needed to see Rio to get behind her, to really just, you know, back her as champion, but also just it just seemed like the women's division was so random and things thrown together, and they didn't get the airtime that they really needed. I mean, you were just talking about it earlier with Impact that as a result of Tessa winning the world championship, that it still felt like they were only focusing on one women's program at a time. When they could have easily broken that up. Whereas same thing with AEW, they just seem to have thrown the women together in random tag matches or triple threats or fatal four ways or whatnot without really building a story behind it. So I feel like, and this also is my own opinion, that when Nyla won the women's championship, it was like, okay, now maybe we press the reset button and we try again. Was that your thought process, or tell me what your thought was when Nyla won the women's championship for AEW?
Man, there are so many things after what so many just things. They're literally, I have a list, but I'm going to answer your question first. Nyla Rose winning the championship for me was an admission that Riho wasn't working, and we know Riho wasn't working. Like, we the only people that it seemed like cared about Riho less than we did was AEW themselves. And I don't think that's true. I just think that's how it came across. I need to go back to Kenny Omega. And I want you the listener, not you, Miranda Morales, to think about this. Kenny Omega, amazing in-ring performer. Okay? I have been fortunate enough to spend the majority of my working career in management, right? I'm in management. Typically, before I was a manager, I was usually a good performer in the job before I started managing the job. I was never the top performer. And I've seen top performers become managers and suck at managing other people, but then go back and be top
That was how
performers
you really feel.
at the job. It's just fact. Like they can do the job, they can't manage the job. Look at everyone involved. Like if you look at most of the agents backstage putting matches together for WWE, they were mid-carders. They were lower card people. They were not main eventers. You get your Shawn Michaels and your Kurt Angle, but then you get your Billy Kidman and you get your Norman Smiley and you get your Adam Pearce and you get Fit Finlay. All these people working behind the
Devon.
scenes, they were not. They didn't main event WrestleMania like Triple H and Shawn Michaels did and Kurt Angle did. The head agent for the whole thing is Michael Hayes, a tag team wrestler. Like it's. Just because someone's a good wrestler doesn't mean they're going to be good at booking. And I think that's honestly translated to most of AEW for me. In the ring, the matches are going to be good because that's what those guys do. And so Kenny Omega's just carting out matches with no rhyme or reason. Because that's all Kenny Omega wants to do is just go out there and have great matches. He calls himself the best bout machine, not the best storytelling machine, not the best booking machine, the best bout machine. And so. If the division gets better, it's probably going to be because Kenny's not booking it anymore or is getting help booking it. I also think there's a Kylie Rae factor. I have a feeling that Kylie Rae was their big plan from the jump with the women's division, and then she left. And I'm not here to talk about the rumors why she left and that there may be some truth behind those, whatever on that stuff. Kylie Rae's not there, and I think she was the big plan from the beginning, and so they had to pivot and go to Riho. Everyone wanted Chris Statlander to be the one to beat Riho, even though she came into the company. She was 2-0, and everybody was ready for Statlander to take the belt off Riho. That was more about Riho and less about Statlander, I think. And now it's moved to Nyla Rose, which is a great story and a great choice. There's a little bit of a danger zone involved that I'm going to get to here in a minute. But I think that we may, as fans, and the we again as the listener, because I don't think we do this. I know I don't do this. Place of love a booking expectation on people like the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, well, that's just not what they do. What they do is spotty matches. And what they're good at and what they're amazing at is spotty matches. Cody Rhodes is a better storyteller than them. Cody Rhodes is doing a better job telling stories. I still think his best days are going to come in a WWE ring, but that's a whole different story for a whole nother
Yeah, that's
time.
a bold, speaking of bold
Yeah.
predictions, that's a
We might get
bold ass
there.
prediction.
We might get there if you do the thing that we talked about later. Because this whole thing is improv, like we joked about during Chairshot Radio. But I think that that's where we're going. Now, I've been very vocal about Nyla Rose, and I want to preface this because the Chair Shot has a group on Facebook, and somebody was, when Nyla Rose won, very conservative member of the population is going off about a quote unquote man, biological man holding the AEW women's. And the big joke was, WWE has a women's champion who calls herself the man, and AEW is a women's champion who really is a man. And that is asinine. And that person, I don't even think can post there anymore. I think we booted him. He won't even write for us anymore. Like super, but whatever. I kept telling him, I don't care how you feel. I don't. It's not time. I'm the most apolitical person in the world. You know this. Our listeners will know this too. I hate politics. I don't get involved in that stuff. And so, for me, it's whatever. But this is kind of the danger zone that I was talking about. I got music for a danger zone now, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I'm working on my own solo project, bringing back the Greg DeMarco to the solo thing, and there's going to be a danger zone. I just think Nyla Rose is a crappy wrestler. And it's hard to think Nyla Rose is a crappy wrestler because I know you're not on Twitter in terms of you don't have an account, but I know you lurk and you peruse and see things on Twitter probably more than I do, although maybe not right now because life's busy, right? But if I point out, if random person points out Nyla Rose is a crappy wrestler, what's going to be the most common wrestling Twitter reaction to the statement that Nyla Rose is a crappy wrestler?
That they're probably just hating on her.
Right, because she's transgendered.
Yeah.
And I'm not hating on her because she's transgendered. I'm hating on her because I don't think she's a very good pro wrestler. I think she's in the spot she's in because she's transgendered. I struggle with...
Well, I have to kind of disagree on that. I mean, I can understand the recognition that she's received and how that reflects on AEW in a positive manner.
Of course. But
I also think that she is a reflection as to AEW holding true to something that they did say about, you know, being something different in pro wrestling and giving opportunities to professional wrestlers that other companies wouldn't have. And I believe that that is absolutely the case with Nyla Rose. Not to say this is not necessarily the best analogy, because I don't think anyone is not talented in any way, but almost kind of the island of misfit toys, where you have like a Marco Stunt who's, you know, he's really energetic and really fun to watch, but I can imagine companies passing on him just because of his height. You know, I think there's interesting things that AEW can and have done with professional wrestlers that maybe other companies would look past, and have them be entertaining, have them involved in great stories, and be able to bring them to a national audience in a way that maybe, you know, we as wrestling fans didn't think about. So I have to disagree with that it's more self-serving. I think it's them actually holding true to it. Now, is it going to be hit or miss? Absolutely. You know, there's going to be people they bring in that are complete misses. But I do think in the case of Nyla Rose that she has been a really good addition for the women's division. And I think that she wouldn't have gotten this opportunity if an AEW didn't exist, just because I don't think any other company would have known what to do and how to book her. Not to say that it's ideal or that it's perfect, but this is the best I think that she would have gotten, because she's also been taken seriously. She's not a joke. She's not a character. You know, I mean, she's seen, even though maybe the skill isn't, you know, as par as some of the other women's wrestlers are around the world, absolutely. But I do feel like her role now, especially now that Awesome Kong is not around, as this, you know, big heel, kind of this menace, kind of this, you know, the big dog, as you per se, of the women's division. She plays that role really, really well. So that was just my take on that. I can understand maybe a fan's perspective otherwise, but that is one thing I will defend AEW on, because I think that they've done it well.
Here comes the big dog.
Only because you said it. I think you made my point for me, though, in a lot of ways, in disagreeing with me, because had she not fit on the island of misfit toys, I don't think she'd be there. And I think that she didn't get there on the merit of a wrestling skill. She got there on the merit of they're holding true to this value, their value of embracing differences and putting differences on that stage. Thus, she's there for those differences, not for her wrestling skill.
Well, I think that that's, you know, they wouldn't have brought on people.
I'm
especially
just saying,
I think in if, her if role, were, if there wasn't some merit and value to her wrestling.
Oh, I agree with that.
I mean, yeah.
But
so, I mean, maybe not ideal. I mean, I think there's the bar is set very high for women's wrestling.
It is.
And I know she hasn't even been wrestling for a long amount of time. But, I think there's the ability to grow and improve, just like we've seen with other wrestlers when they sign with a company and who they evolve into. I think that that's probably what we're seeing more than anything.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think that I just think that if not for all that, she wouldn't be, if she were biologically a woman from the start, I don't think she's in that role. And I just don't think that that's where she would be. Here's the interesting thing for me about this. This is really where the danger zone comes into play, but I feel like you and I can have this conversation and people be okay with it. So we're going to try. The state of Connecticut has an issue currently and Martina Navratilova, which is you know, has been a huge advocate for gay rights and women's rights all at the same time, has come under fire in the gay rights community. The state of Connecticut allows transgendered athletes to compete. And currently, in track and field in the state of Connecticut, every single record is held by a transgendered female in the female division. So every single record in Connecticut's track and field for women is held by someone who's biologically a man but identifies as a woman. And Martina Navratilova got in a lot of trouble because she had actually spoken out against it and saying, we've gone so far for the transgendered rights that we're actually now hurting women's rights, because now women can't compete in their own division anymore, and because all their records are gone now in the state of Connecticut because it's all held by a small group of transgendered females. And it's and she's now been like ousted by her own community because she's speaking for women but against, you know, the way the records are being held. And wrestling struggles with real versus scripted. And everyone who's watching wrestling knows that it's scripted at this point, right? But if wrestling were real, Nyla Rose should never lose to a woman biologically. Like, she just shouldn't. And that's where, that's tough, because are we to the point now where that doesn't matter? Everyone knows what it is. That's where we are. We're going to tell the story, and the story wins. And I love the stories, so I'm all about it. And I don't have the answer. I don't have an opinion on how this actually should be in the end. It's just more about the conversation. Or does this take us to a place that makes trying to get people to believe no longer an option?
No, and I would say, because we've seen that in wrestling all the time. I mean, we've seen it, even though this, you know, individual's older, you look at a Brock Lesnar, who you've seen with a career in MMA, who's beaten people up, knocked people out. I think that same logic then would apply to WWE, that he, and he did for a long time have a very undefeated, you know, streak, but he has been beaten. And in the real world, with, you know, his athleticism and ability, you would think he'd just, you know, punch kick someone out and that's it. But that's not professional wrestling. So I do believe that that holds merit within multiple divisions, tag team, women's. You know, you have people who are coming from different athletic backgrounds, who in theory, it sounds like, oh, well, you have, you know, and we haven't seen any of this yet, but you have, especially just specifically pointing out NXT, because they are very unique in the background of all the people who have come into the company. You've had gymnasts, you've had collegiate athletes, you've had bodybuilders, or CrossFitters, you know, all of them have different athletic backgrounds that I think contribute to their development and contribute to their athleticism as professional wrestlers. Now, I'm not going into the gender part with this, because I think it, you're talking more, there's some biology to it, but I also think it's the athleticism and training of the individual. And I think that's what you speak, this speaks more to, is, you know, the training and preparation and even length of time that someone has in professional wrestling or just in sports in general can have an implication as to how they're perceived by fans as, are they a legitimate threat? So I could easily see someone with a different athletic background or some kind of wrestling background be more of a viable threat against Nyla Rose, regardless of anatomy, just because of being a performer. You know, if you can out-wrestle someone, that has some implication to it. And even her size compared to what we're seeing now in women's wrestling isn't like a Brock Lesnar, isn't a huge size difference to the point where it becomes unbelievable. But I do think that pro wrestling has already taught us, I mean, there's stories of underdogs, there's stories of people who logistically, physically had no business beating someone else, but they did. And so I think pushing that or having that narrative on the women's division with a champion who happens to be transgender, to me, doesn't make sense. To me, personally, because I've already seen it happen so many other times. And I don't think that's the suspension of disbelief, the suspension of belief as far as that went out the door a long, long time ago. So I can understand in other sports where that can be an issue, but in professional wrestling, that's literally the bread and butter of professional wrestling.
It is, and it's going to be on them now. The storyteller that we've already identified can't tell stories, and Kenny Omega, to figure out how to tell those stories. It is interesting because Nyla Rose is 5'7", 185 pounds.
That's not – there's
if Nyla Rose were you know, maintained her biological status as a male wrestler, would be tiny and would not be, you know – accomplishing much probably in the world of wrestling. The deck would be stacked against Nyla Rose.
Yeah, I would imagine. I don't know if like comparison to like Havoc and Impact. Right. I don't know if that's like a comparable.
And even like Nia Jax, for example. Nia Jax is 6 feet tall, 275 pounds.
Yeah.
And so, that's, you know, I mean, she's literally, you know, over 5 inches taller and almost 100 pounds bigger than Jessica Havoc is 6 feet tall, 264 pounds. So again, no comparison to Nyla Rose, and so I think that brings up a good point for what you're saying. It is easier to make fighting Nyla Rose believable, almost than it is to make fighting Jessica Havoc or Nia Jax or even like an Awesome Kong believable in the long run because of that sheer factor of it. It is wrestling. But what's interesting is that when I heard the story about the state of Connecticut and what they were going through with their track athletes, Nyla Rose is literally the first thing I thought of because everything always comes back to wrestling.
Well, and also, and this is kind of an analogy. This is actually happening within the state of Arizona. And this is also just a glimpse of what happens when you have a division within a culture. And in this case, the example I'm going to use is a cultural group, but it could be a group of people who identify, whether it's a sexual orientation, gender, religion. When there is anyone who goes into a different direction or a schism and vocalizes that publicly, there's going to be tension. In the state of Arizona, there was a couple who own it's a Latino couple, Mexican couple, I believe, who own a restaurant in Tucson, that they are Donald Trump supporters and they went to his rally. I don't remember where. But the news reported they got a lot of backlash and probably from the Latino community saying, why did you do that? But it's, you know, their political belief. They supported him. They vocalized that. They wanted to be there. But as Latinos, it's a very hard thing to process and understand when someone within your own community goes against, you know, for the most part, I mean, granted, there are Latinos who sway more on the Republican side, Democratic side, whatnot. But when you have something that big of a schism, you're going to get that backlash within your own community. So that whole Connecticut story does not surprise me a bit. An interesting aspect of that story is that restaurant has now been bombarded with a bunch of business. So it worked out for them. But anytime you have any kind of schism within a community, you're going to get backlash. And it's just going to happen because there's that sense of you're one of us. You shouldn't be thinking this way. And I can understand some of the argument as far as, and it's been happening across multiple outlets, whether it's been track and field, MMA, you know, whatnot, that biologically, you know, there is a difference and that can impact someone's performance. But then you also have the kind of the cultural side that you are technically part of this larger community and, you know, people within the community should support each other and you would wonder why they wouldn't. There's lots of reasons for that, but it doesn't surprise me, that whole story. And also the implications that it could have for other sports, because again, it has happened. It will continue to happen. This will not be the last time it's ever brought up. And in the case of professional wrestling, it will be very interesting to see what this pays for the future. You know, she is now, I mean, You did mention it. It is now publicly known she is a transgender women's champion. And that could open a lot of doors for other people within the transgender community who want to get into professional wrestling or want that, you know, ability to move up within professional wrestling. Every time a door is open, it never truly closes. So we could see this more. But with that, then more conversations like this or more conversations happening online or within companies about it. So will it go away? Absolutely not. But I do think that it is something important, and how AEW addresses this, how they book and support their champion, also will have that implication too. It, you know, and that's where the concern is. You know, they haven't been so great about booking their women's division so far. What makes us think now is going to be any different? But that's hopefully where this new champion comes into play. Very different than Rio, literally everything different, where it's a size aspect, it's a cultural aspect, it's even just familiarity by fans, very different. So, but I think it's a positive sign. It's like you mentioned, very first thing, it was a sign that they realized Rio wasn't working and they are moving in a different direction for that. Who knows if they'll continue, you know, every time there's this realization that it's not working, will they change it? That's been one of the biggest arguments against WWE, is that when something isn't working, they don't admit it. They just keep on going. And that's that whole analogy, quote unquote, shoving things down your throat. All of that comes from. That's where I think it's also going to be a very interesting thing with the women's division, is that if they keep on going in a direction that fans don't like, will they just say, sorry, this is it? Or will they listen to that? Who knows? But this is a sign that maybe they will. Maybe they will listen to the fans. They'll listen to the feedback a little bit more openly than WWE.
So you really piqued my interest. First of all, I have to ask you a personal favor. Send me an article on that restaurant. I'm really interested and I want to read it. Not right
yes,
now,
yes, I'll have to find it. But it was on Yahoo, I think.
Here's why that has now completely taken me off into a totally different direction. The couple you're referring to that owns this, first of all, I'd love to see, you said they had a major influx of business in the restaurant. I'd love to see the clientele that's the major influx of business in the restaurant.
The article I read did not.
Probably not the clientele who was populating it before all this happened. Here's the other interesting thing to me. Does this couple identify more as their Latino heritage, or do they identify more at this stage of their life as business owners? And because I think the support of Trump probably comes from the business ownership, because everything that he does supports business owners. And it's probably better for them from a business standpoint to support Trump. Now, it may not have been better for their business for them to support Trump, given the clientele they were originally serving, but that seems like it sort of worked out maybe as a happy accident. But what fascinates me is the fact that I wonder if the community expected them to identify more with the Latino issues and they identified more with the business ownership issues, which is more of a just expectations not being met, because maybe those expectations weren't – people just weren't on the same page of expectations. They're so invested in their business that they've kind of lost sight of the cultural heritage side of their lives, is what it strikes
me. And that's a good point. I think that's something that people – and I'm not here to speak for all, you know – multiple minority groups, but I think that that's an interesting aspect when you are a minority, is that you have to, you balance out these things, or you feel like you have to balance out, or you feel drawn or even divided between this loyalty within your culture or your heritage or your community with your own personal values. And I can speak to that more on, say, the religious side, growing up Catholic, where I am definitely not on the traditional side. I would say they call the cafeteria Catholic, where I picked and choose what I believed in. And that was kind of frowned upon. And you know, I think that that too could be its own division of, you grow up and you have this sense of, you know, understanding and loyalty to your group, but then it divides, you know, there's a division then just based off of what you believe in as an individual, as a person. And when you have things as decisive as politics and religion, that probably happens way more than we think. And we don't always realize it, or don't even just consider it. I think you just get, you know, that primary identifier of, oh, you're this or you're that, so you must believe this or you must believe that. And that's not necessarily the case.
No, it really isn't. I mean, I've experienced a lot of the same things in that realm that we've talked about, and have largely gone away from some of that aspect of my life because I can't buy it. It's kind of, it comes full circle, the church's view of the LGBTQ community And what I view as a lot of hatred towards that community from the church has kind of driven me away from it. So I agree with you on that aspect and feel kind of the same in you know, how we get there, so to speak. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, the world is not cut and dry, you know, and it sounds to me like this couple is in their minds, they're not just Mexican. They're also business owners. And somewhere there was a shift where they may have placed a certain level of importance on one over the other that other people didn't agree with. And it's very, you know, but that's their right to do so.
Whether yeah, or not people it's very, very interesting, just the landscape that we are in today. How that relates to wrestling, well, we just talked about it. And how we will relate to wrestling
really
in the
does.
Future. Who actually knows? I mean, there's schisms within fan bases of professional wrestling. Those things, I think, do influence people's opinions and fan bases, you know, is your political affiliation, your cultural, how you identify culturally, how you identify in gender. I think that's also even just your identified religion. I think that impacts, you know, all aspects of your life, including how you may view professional wrestling. I mean, that's a whole topic for a whole other day that we could go super deep into, but it's getting late. And I think kind of to wrap all this up, I mean, this is all really, to me, good signs that these companies are putting a focus on women's wrestling. We already know that WWE is doing that. They have done it. How some storylines are more successful than others, that's just, you know, that will happen no matter what, whether it's the women's division, tag division, even hell, you know, cruiserweights and NXT and all of that. So we can't necessarily, you know, we can't necessarily divide that, but I think that these are all fairly positive changes for these companies. It will be very interesting to see how each of their women's divisions progress over this year and who remains champion, how these championships change and evolve over 2020. It is something, again, there's, you know, who knows? Maybe there's patterns in this, maybe there isn't. But I think it was well worth analyzing and reviewing each one of these scenarios. Because I think that it really will lead to some interesting developments in women's wrestling, period, over 2020. Now, that wraps us up for today's edition, whenever you're listening, of the hashtag Miranda Show. You can find me, Miranda Morales, on social media. I'm on Facebook and Instagram at the hashtag Miranda. Hashtag spelled out. Feel free to follow me, message me, let us know your thoughts on this week's episode or anything that we talked about this week. I'd love to hear them. You can follow The Chair Shot at thechairshot.com, but also on social media at chairshot.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Did I say that right?
The Chair Shot.
Thechairshot.com. I always mess that up. Thechairshot.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Again, you can go to eWrestling News to get all your wrestling news, opinions, and analysis. And they are also on social media, I believe. I follow the Instagram account, so I know that. I got a learning curve ahead. But visiting both sites, that's where you're going to get all your updated wrestling news, opinions, and analysis. So do yourself a favor, get educated. Get your news from thechairshot.com and ewrestlingnews.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Greg isn't so much on social media, but if you'd like to follow him, he is at ChairShotGreg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You may have more success on Facebook and Instagram than anywhere else. And as we mentioned earlier, you should go and support your local wrestling organizations, finding them online, wrestlingcalendar.com. Again, if there's anything you get out of this podcast, is to support your local wrestling promotions, support people like Greg and myself who are involved in our local wrestling scenes. And, you know, if you don't like what you see on TV, there's always something in your backyard. Hopefully not in your literal like backyard. That's just that's something I don't condone. It can be dangerous. Watch yourself. But we will be doing this again next week. So join us. Thank you very much for joining us this week, but join us next week for another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show.
Viva la raza!
I got that passion, it's lasting long, lost more.